السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدًا عبدہ ورسولہ اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین اِیَّاکَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِیَّاکَ نَسْتَعِينُ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ والضالين. اللہ تعالیٰ کے فضل سے جماعت احمدیہ آسٹریلیا کا جلسہ سالانہ شروع ہو رہا ہے.
With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Jalsa Salana, the annual convention of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat Australia, is starting today. I have been unable to attend this Jalsa Salana after approximately 7 years. The foundation of this Jalsa Salana was laid nearly 123 years before today by the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The first Jalsa Salana, the first annual convention, was held approximately 123 years ago. It was held in the province of India of Punjab, in the tiny hamlet of Gadian. Only 75 people participated in that first Jalsa. Today, these Jalsas are held in a large part of the world. It includes large countries and also smaller countries. It includes wealthy countries as well as poor countries. There is no continent in the world in which these Jalsa Salanas are not being held. Most certainly, it was destined for these Jalsa Salanas to be held in the corners of the world and in every single country. This is because, as the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated, that do not consider this Jalsa as a normal or ordinary worldly convention. In fact, this is that aspect which is purely divinely supported and is based on the truthful word of Allah. The very foundations of this movement was laid by Allah the Almighty Himself. Thus, the Jalsa Salanas are not held merely as a gathering. In fact, the holding of the Jalsa Salanas are a proof of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. It is proof of the truthfulness of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. It is proof of the prophecy of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being fulfilled with full glory. It is evidence of Allah the Almighty's statement that وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ being fulfilled with His clear-cut illuminating signs. the words of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, that the first brick of the foundation of this movement was laid by Allah the Almighty Himself, are not just mere words. In fact, every new day that dawns in support of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, demonstrates Allah the Almighty's divine help and succor. People demand for proof of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. If their eyes were not closed, if their eyes were not blindfolded, then for the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, these Jalsa Salanas, which are held in the corners of the world, are immense proof. Then there was that Jalsa Salana that was held just 123 years ago in the tiny hamlet of Qadian. Today, in all the continents of the world, these Jalsas are being held. The Jalsa is also being held in this continent, and it is being held in one of the major cities of the country in this continent, which is thousands of miles away from there. Thousands of men, women and children are participating in this Jalsa. And this very Jalsa Salana was held approximately 1 month ago with full glory in the capital of that country, which for a long period of time ruled over India. Many of the officials of that country and its priests lodged cases against the promised Messiah on whom be peace. They dragged the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, into the courts. However, today, the officials of that government, its leaders, to the extent that the priests of that country, cannot remain without admitting that the message of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat is a message of unifying the people and nations of the world. It is a message of love, compassion, and brotherhood. And they say that it is a message which should be spread all over the world. Similarly, the United States, which is considered a major power of the world, the people at the helm of affairs of the United States come to our Jalsa Salanas, or through their messages are compelled to admit and acknowledge that we have learned of the true message of Islam from the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. So thus, these Jalsas become and should become the means of progress for an Ahmadi's knowledge and spirituality. There, it obliges non-Ahmadis to praise the excellences of Islam, and thereby it most gloriously fulfills the words of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, that its foundation is purely on divine help and succor. Its foundation is purely on the message of Islam and Allah. Its foundation is based purely on giving preeminence to the name of Islam, and it is a means of proving the superiority of the religion of Islam upon the world. So thus, when in this era even the non-Ahmadis acknowledge the beauties of Islam as presented by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, which is a true Islam as presented by the Holy Quran, so in such a case, does it not behove an Ahmadi to realize his responsibilities even more so? An Ahmadi's responsibilities through these aspects increases manifold, because by attending and participating in this Jalsa, an Ahmadi should make it a means of increasing his knowledge, his practical actions, his beliefs, and his spirituality. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, explained when outlining the objectives of the Jalsa Salana that by attending this Jalsa Salana, one should become an example of righteousness and the fear of Allah. This Jalsa Salana should develop the fear of Allah the Almighty within you. Become exemplary for others in gentleness, in kindness, in mutual love, and in brotherhood. Establish the examples of brotherhood. Develop humbleness and humility. For the sake of serving the faith, develop within you a passion and a zeal. Through this Jalsa Salana, make an effort to form a living connection with Allah. Within these days of Jalsa, analyze your pledge of allegiance, where alongside the rights of Allah, there is also a need to give attention towards discharging the rights of mankind. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, "What am I to do with such people who do not implement the religious commandments with sincerity and devotion?" Therefore, these are immense responsibilities for an Ahmadi to act upon. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, brought with him a huge mission. If we are to fulfill the right of pledging allegiance to him, if we are to fulfill the mission which he brought along with him, then we would have to reflect and ponder over those teachings which he provided to us. We would have to strive to uphold all the expectations that he had of us. Therefore, we should never assume that we have become Ahmadis and therefore the purpose is now achieved. Now, after becoming an Ahmadi, we need to search for those matters, we need to search for those aspects, and we need to search for those expectations which the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, made of us. Because these 3 days of the Jalsa Salana are days of a spiritual atmosphere when we are all gathered together. As a result of this, in these days especially, search out for these things and take benefit from the programs of the Jalsa, and then make an effort to become true Ahmadis. There is a need to take a self-analysis and self-assessment. At this time, I shall present a few of those matters from that list which guide towards those standards and those levels, the expectations of which the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, made of us. From amongst the objectives of the Jalsa Salana, one purpose which the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, expounded was that so that those who come to attend the Jalsa develop taqwa in their hearts. What is taqwa? Regarding this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, taqwa is not a small thing. Through it, one would have to challenge and compete with all the Satans, which has engulfed and overcome all the internal faculties and strengths inside a person. All these faculties in the state of Nafs-e Amara are Satans. Nafs-e Amara is that state of the self which takes one towards vice and evil again and again. And instead of following the commands of Allah the Almighty, it leads one's attention towards the indecencies which Satan has spread in the world. It presents bad things as an attractive proposition. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that this is the Satan of man, which keeps on tempting and inciting you. He says that these human faculties, which keep on inciting and tempting a person, if they are not reformed, then they will enslave a person. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, using knowledge and intellect in the wrong way makes a person into Satan. Some people are very proud and boastful upon their knowledge and intellect. This proudness and boastfulness itself makes them into Satan, or that knowledge and intellect becomes Satan. It is the duty of a muttaqi, that is of a righteous person, that he should adjust this faculty and all such other faculties and strengths. That is to say that with these strengths and faculties, which he has been granted and bestowed with by Allah the Almighty, he would have to correct them. He would have to utilize them at the proper time and in the proper manner and justly. When this occurs, then this is taqwa. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, it is especially required for our Jamaat to adopt taqwa, in particular with this consideration, that they associate themselves with such a person, and they are in the pledge of allegiance of a person who has claimed to be from Allah. Thus, those people who are involved in any types of rancor, spite, or shirk, associating partners with God, or inclined to the world in any way, they must deliver themselves from these tribulations. Thus, even after coming into the initiation, if one does not bring about pious reformations, that objective is not fulfilled, for which the bet, the pledge of allegiance, was taken. In one place, expounding on taqwa, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, whilst giving a counsel or advice, he says, it is required to adopt the path of taqwa, because taqwa alone is such an aspect which can be called the summary or the gist of the faith. If you want to explain the shariat briefly, then the essence of the shariat can be taqwa alone. There are many ranks and stages of taqwa. However, if one becomes a sincere and devout searcher of taqwa, and he traverses over the first stage of taqwa with sincerity and steadfastness, then as a result of being on this path and of being a sincere and devoted searcher, he obtains the most elevated rank of taqwa. Allah the Almighty states, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. As such, Allah the Almighty accepts the prayers of a muttaqi, of a righteous person. That is, as such, His promise. And Allah the Almighty never falls back upon His promise. He never falters on His promise. As Allah the Almighty states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. Thus, when in this state, taqwa is an inseparable condition for the acceptance of prayer. If a person becomes negligent and goes astray, yet desires the acceptance of prayer, would he not be foolish and stupid? Thus, it is essential upon our Jamaat that to the maximum degree possible, every single member must tread upon the path of taqwa. This is so that one can obtain the delight of the acceptance of prayer and can take a share in progressing in the faith. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, states, one should act at all times utilizing his faculties. In short, these faculties which have been bestowed to man, if he acts in accordance with them, he can most certainly become a wali, a friend of Allah. The promised Messiah says, I say most certainly that in this ummah there are people with great strengths and faculties who are filled with nur, sincerity, and purity. Thus, no person should ever consider that he is deprived of those faculties and strengths. Has Allah the Almighty published a list through which it should be assumed that we would not take a share of those bounties and blessings? That is to say that such and such people would only obtain these blessings, yet others would not. There is no such list. Promised Messiah says, Allah is most benevolent and generous. There is a deep ocean of His bountifulness and generosity, which can never end. One who searches out for this, one who is in requirement of this, has never been deprived of it. Thus, it behoves you that you should get up at night and pray and supplicate and search for His grace and blessings. In every single prayer, there are many opportunities for supplication. There is ruku, qiyam, qada, sajda, etc. Then, these are performed 5 times a day. There is fajr, zuhr, asr, in the evening and in the night. Progressing upon this, there are the prayers of ashraq and also tahajjud. All of these are opportunities for prayers. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, explaining the actual purpose and essence of prayer as supplication. He says, the actual objective and essence of prayer is supplication, and to ask for prayer is also exactly in line with the law of Allah. For example, we generally see that when a child cries and weeps and he expresses restlessness, the mother becomes extremely distressed and gives him milk. The relationship in servitude to the divine is also similar. That is, the relationship between man and God is similar to that relationship, which every single person cannot comprehend. When a person falls upon the threshold of Allah, and with great humility and whilst weeping and in anxiety, he presents his entire situation and circumstance, and he begs for all his needs from Allah the Almighty, then the benevolence of the Divine is set into motion. And such a person is shown mercy and compassion by Allah. The milk of Allah the Almighty's generosity and compassion demands one to fall down in this manner whilst weeping and crying. Thus, this is the reason why one should present himself in a manner where he is crying and weeping before Allah. Then the Promised Messiah says, because some people assume that perhaps through crying and weeping, one cannot obtain anything from prayer. Nowadays, atheism amongst the youth and amongst some other people has fervently started developing such thoughts in people. The Promised Messiah says, some people assume that to cry and weep before Allah in supplication in this manner does not obtain anything. This is entirely false and wrong. Such people do not have faith in Allah the Almighty's existence and powers and attributes. If they had true faith, then they would never have the courage or boldness to say such a thing. Whenever any person has fallen down before Allah with true repentance before God, because this is a condition, having true repentance, that one would have to act upon the commands that Allah has enjoined. When one has truly and sincerely submitted to God, Allah has always shown His bounty and blessings and grace to him. How rightly has someone said? And this is a Persian couplet of poetry. Aashiq ke shud ki yaar behalish nazar na kard ae khwaja dard neest wagar na tabib hast. That what kind of lover is that, that the one who is beloved has not even seen his true condition and state? Friend, you do not have that agony, otherwise the healer is there. But that pain is not developing within you. Otherwise, Allah the Almighty is present to give the remedy. The Promised Messiah says, Allah the Almighty desires that you should bring a pure heart before Him. The condition is only so much that you should form yourself to act in the right manner. And that true reformation that makes one worthy of presenting himself before Allah the Almighty, you should show and demonstrate within you. I say most truly that there is a wondrous and most astonishing powers in Allah. He has limitless and infinite blessings. Develop the loving eye. If you have true love, then Allah the Almighty greatly listens to prayers and gives His support and succor. Then, drawing attention towards humbleness and meekness, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, for the people who are righteous, there is a condition that they should spend their life in meekness and modesty. This is a branch of taqwa. Through this branch of taqwa, we have to challenge and compete with inappropriate anger. There are many knowledgeable people and truthful people whose primary or last objective is to be safe from anger. Conceit and vanity is developed through anger. That is, arrogance and haughtiness is developed through anger. And similarly, such a person who becomes angry, it is so as a result of conceit and proudness. That is, anger is born out of arrogance. And as a result of arrogance and haughtiness, anger is developed. Because anger, the Promised Messiah says, anger will be developed at that point when a person gives preeminence to himself over others. He starts to think of himself as something. I do not want the members of my Jamaat that they should consider others as lowly or exalted, or they should show proudness over others, or that they should look down upon other people. That is to consider others as less than yourself. Allah the Almighty knows who is exalted or who is lowly. This is a type of disdain which contains contempt. It is a worry that this contempt and disdain will grow like a seed and will become a means of his destruction. That is, if one keeps this contempt in his heart, just like a seed flourishes and becomes a plant in a tree. Similarly, this contempt and disdain will increase. And when this increases, it will destroy a person. The promised Messiah says that some people meet people who are highly placed with great respect and regard. That is, when he meets important people or people who are highly, he expresses great decency and regard. However, a truly great or exalted person is he who listens to a poor or meek person with humbleness, and he consoles him and respects what he says. He does not irritate him in any way through which he can be hurt. Allah the Almighty states, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْإِلْقَابِ بِعْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُّبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. That call not one another by nicknames. Bad indeed is evil reputation after profession of belief. In other words, such people act in this manner, who have forgotten their faith and are far removed from it. A person who irritates others will not die until he himself becomes embroiled in such irritation. Do not look down or consider with contempt your brothers. When we all drink water from the same fountain, who knows in whose good fortune it is to drink more of that water? That is, we are all the servants of Allah. When we are to receive those very bounties and blessings of Allah, who knows who will receive more of those bounties? Nobody can become exalted or respected out of worldly principles. In the sight of Allah, great is he who is a muttaqi, a righteous person. As Allah the Almighty states, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, inna Allah alimun khabir. Verily, the most honorable among you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most righteous among you. Surely Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam, once counseling his jamaat, says that Allah does not care for others except he who is righteous. Develop mutual love and brotherhood, and leave off beastly-like features and also discord and differences. Completely refrain from all forms of mocking and deriding others. Because making a joke of others removes the truthfulness from one's heart and makes him far removed and takes him far away. Be respectful to each other. Give preference to the comfort of your brother over your own comfort. This is a major point. And form a true pact with Allah the Almighty. Now, there is no fight or dispute with Allah. The true pact with Allah the Almighty means to act upon His commands and to fulfill the right of His worship and to fulfill the right of mankind and come back to obeying Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty's wrath is descending upon the earth. Those will be saved from it who completely repent from all their sins and present themselves before Allah. Remember that if in the obedience to Allah you give all yourself, and in the support of His faith you endeavor and make full efforts, then Allah the Almighty will remove all obstacles, and you will become successful. Have you not seen how a farmer, in order to grow excellent plants, removes all the worthless things from amongst his crops, such as weeds? And he plants in his fields beautiful and fruit-bearing plants, and he looks after them. And he saves them from every single harm and damage. However, those plants and trees which do not bear fruit and start becoming rotten and dry, its owner does not care for them. If even a cattle comes and eats them, or if some woodcutter cuts them and puts them into the fire. So thus you should also remember, if you are proved to be true in the sight of Allah, then nobody's opposition can cause you any harm. However, if you do not reform yourselves, and if you do not fulfill a true covenant of obedience to Allah the Almighty, Then Allah the Almighty does not care for anyone. There are thousands of sheep and goats that are slaughtered each day, but no one has any mercy upon them. But if a single person is killed, how much interrogation and scrutiny is there? Now, if a person is killed, then there is interrogation and the law holds them to account. However, animals are slaughtered and no one has any mercy upon them. So thus, if you become beastly and worthless and negligent, then you will suffer the same fate and condition. You should be counted amongst the beloved of Allah, so that no calamity or tribulation can have even the courage to lay a hand upon you. Because nothing happens on the earth without the permission of Allah the Almighty. All forms of quarrels and disputes and enmities between one another should be completely uprooted, because now is the time when you refrain from trivial and small matters, and rather become engaged and engrossed in important and glorious works. This is my advice, and keep it as a will, that never act in a harsh manner, but in fact advise others with kindness, gentleness, and good manners. Then, drawing the attention of the Jamaat towards progress in morality, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, "Thus it is necessary for our Jamaat that they should improve and progress in morals, because al-istiqamatu fawqa al-karama." It is well known. They should remember that if anyone is harsh upon them, then to the greatest degree possible, they should be responded to with gentleness and kindness. Do not resort to violence or force, even in revenge and reprisal. This is the teaching that we give to the world, that this is the standard required to establish world peace. And the world likes this message. However, our practical example should be exactly in line with this. The Promised Messiah said that a person has a self, which is of three types: Amara, Lavama, and Mutma'inna. In the state of Amara, a person cannot control his improper passions, as I mentioned before. He goes beyond the limits, and his moral standard stoops low. However, in the state of Lavama, he takes care of those passions. He continues reproaching and censuring himself that I have done something bad. The Promised Messiah says that I remember a story which Sadi has written in Bustan, that an elder person or saint was bitten by a dog. He came home and his family saw that a dog had bitten him. A young girl, who was very innocent and straightforward, spoke out, "Why did you not bite that dog back?" He replied, "Girl, man cannot be like a dog." Similarly, it behoves a man that whenever a mischievous person verbally abuses him, it is necessary for a believer to refrain and restrain. Otherwise, that same example of biting the dog would apply upon him. The ones close to God have been given great verbal abuse and were taunted and harassed most greatly. However, it was said to them that Aris Anil Jahileen, that they should shun such ignorant people. That perfect creation himself, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was inflicted with immense suffering and pain. Mischievous acts, verbal abuse were committed against him. However, this perfect moral exemplar, what did he do in response? He prayed for such people, and because Allah the Almighty had already promised that when you turn away from the ignorant people, your respect and your life will be kept secure and honorable, and these worldly people would not be able to attack it. So this is exactly what happened, that the opponents of the Holy Prophet ﷺ could not slight his respect at all. They were disgraced and humiliated and fell upon his feet, or they were destroyed right before his eyes. In short, this is the attribute of Lavama, in which man, even in a struggle, is able to reform. It is a routine daily matter that if an ignorant person or a vagabond verbally abuses a person or commits mischief to the extent that one shuns him, will a person maintain his dignity and honor? And the extent to which a person confronts and competes with him, will he be destroyed and ruined, and will earn humiliation and disgrace? In the state of Nafs-e-Mutma'inna, a person's abilities become virtuous acts and good deeds. he completely cuts himself off from the world and all other than Allah. He walks in the world and he meets the worldly people. However, in reality, he is not in the world. Where he is a different world altogether. The earth and the heavens there are something different. Now, in order to produce this new heavens and earth is why the promised Messiah alayhi salam actually came. So thus, if every single one of us keeps control over ourselves, where in our relationships there will be mutual love and mutual affection that will increase, there also there will be many new avenues of tabligh, of preaching, that will open up. It has to be said with great regret that there are some people who upon the most trivial and smallest matters start fights and quarrels. And such incidents sometimes occur at the jalsas. And all of these things ruin the sanctity of the jalsa. I have obtained complaints from here also, that they came out, they came to the parking, there were fights and quarrels, there were old disputes relating to the family or relating to business and trade, which broke out. And the sanctity of the atmosphere of the jalsa was spoiled. Or as soon as they exited the jalsa, they forgot for what purpose they had come and for which they had left. So it should always be remembered that we have not been inculcated to display patience and tolerance only before non-Ahmadis, in terms of what the promised Messiah alayhi salam has said. He has not said to do this only before the non-Ahmadis. In fact, the Holy Quran states, رُحُمَا أُبَيْنَهُمْ, that show mutual compassion and sympathy amongst each other, and do this to even a greater extent than before, and do this to even a greater extent than others do. This has been inculcated most profusely. So in light of this also, each and every single one of us needs to keep assessing ourselves. Those people who enter into the promised Messiah alayhi salam's jamaat, his community, and then strive to act upon his teachings, the promised Messiah gives them glad tidings that Allah the Almighty has said in the Holy Quran. وَجَائِلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوكَ فَوْقُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. This reassuring promise was given to the son of Mary, born in Nazareth. In other words, to Hazrat Isa, peace be upon him, that is Jesus, alayhi salam. Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, however, I give you the glad tiding that the son of Mary who came with the name of Yusuf Masih, Allah the Almighty addressed him and gave him the glad tiding in his very words. Now you can reflect that he who keeps a true and sincere relationship with me, and in this great promise and in this great glad tiding wants to have a share and take part in it, can they be those people who are stooped in the state of Amara and are indulged on the path of vices and evil? No, absolutely not. Those who truly respect and honor this promise of Allah the Almighty and do not consider my words to be mere tales and stories. Listen from your heart. I address those people once again who have a connection with me, and that connection is not any ordinary connection. In fact, it is a great relationship. It is such a relationship, the impact of which does not only affect me. In fact, it reaches to that being who has taken me to that chosen one of Allah the Almighty's being, and who has brought me to the spirit of the truth. I say that if the impact of these words only reached to me, then I would have no fear or concern, and nor would I have any care. However, it does not stop here. Its impact and effect reaches to our Master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to the sacred being of Allah the Almighty. Thus, in such a state and circumstance, you should listen most carefully that if you want to take a share of this glad tiding, and if you have a longing to testify to it, and if such a great success that until the day of judgment, you will remain triumphant over the disbelievers, and you have a true thirst for this, then I say only this much, that this success will not be obtained until you progress beyond Lavama and reach the lofty heights of Mutma'inna. I do not say anything more than this, that you are linked with such a person who is an appointed one of Allah the Almighty. Thus, listen to these things with the ears of your heart and be fully ready to act upon them, so you are not counted amongst those who, after making a pledge, fall into the pits of rejection and earn for themselves a perpetual punishment. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, to desire reformation from Allah the Almighty and to expend your faculties is the way of the faith. It is mentioned in the hadith that he who with certainty raises his hand in prayers, Allah the Almighty never rejects his prayer. Therefore, supplicate to Allah with certainty and sincerity of intention. My advice once again is that to demonstrate good morals is in fact to demonstrate a miracle. If one says that I do not desire to be miraculous, then remember that Satan keeps him in a perception. True miracle does not mean proudness and conceit. Through miracles, one comes to learn of the truth and reality of Islam. I say to you once again that vanity and conceit are not involved at all in the miracles of morals. This, in fact, is satanic incitement. Look, millions of Muslims who are seen in various parts of the world, did they become Muslims through the force of the sword or compulsion? No, this is absolutely wrong. In fact, it is through the miraculous beauty and impact of Islam that attracted them. Miracles are of different types and forms. From amongst them, there is the miracles of morality, which is successful in every field. That is, if you show good morals, that becomes a miracle. Those who became Muslims, they only saw the miracles of those who were truthful, and their impact was upon them. They saw Islam with the eye of respect rather than the sword. Major English historians have had to admit that the spirit of the truth of Islam is so strong that compels non-Muslims to enter into Islam. Thus, if your actions are in accordance with the teachings, if our every word and our every deed is in line with the Quranic teachings, will be in accordance with the manner that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam desired from us, this will become a great form of preaching. Just from some Pakistanis or some Fijian people, Ahmadiyyat will not spread. In order to do preaching amongst the local people, you would have to reform your actions in such a way through which people are attracted towards you. This is also a major purpose of the Jalsa. Thus, this progress in taqwa, this demonstration of the highest moral standards, this connection with Allah the Almighty, this attention towards prayers and supplication, it is these very aspects which individually will benefit the members of the Jamaat and also as a collective Jamaat will benefit the community as a whole. In the progress of the Jamaat, every such person will be included who makes every effort to attain the standard. In this atmosphere of the Jalsa, during these days, take your assessment of your own self. Every single Ahmadi needs to analyze his own self. That to what degree, upon these expectations and advice, are we making efforts to fulfill them, which the Promised Messiah alayhi salam outlined. And the efforts also need to be made by each and every single Ahmadi. That by acting upon these aspects, we also become the recipients of those prayers that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam made for his Jamaat. In these days, pray most profusely and also be grateful for the bounties and favors that Allah the Almighty has bestowed upon us, that He also enabled us to participate in the Jalsa and thus gave us another opportunity to reform. Pray that we are not counted amongst those people who do not take a share of the bounties of Allah. But in fact, we should be counted amongst those who attain the blessings and bounties of Allah. May Allah the Almighty enable all of us that within these days, we can take full beneficence and benefit. and that we can become the recipients of the prayers of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. After the prayers, I will also lead a funeral prayer in absentia. This is of Mukarrama Sahibzadi Amtul Rashid Begum Sahiba, who was the daughter of Hazrat Muslihima, the second Khalifa, and Sayyida Amtul Hay Begum Sahiba. She was the wife of the late Muhtaram Mia Abdul Rahim Sahib. She passed away on 30th September in Maryland at the age of 95. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. She was the paternal granddaughter of the promised Messiah. And as I stated, she was a daughter of the second Khalifa, Hadrat Musleh Maud. She was the sister of Hadrat Khalifatul Masih III and Hadrat Khalifatul Masih IV. And she was my maternal aunt. So thus, in this way, from the Khalifatul Masih I until now, she was related to the Khalifas. She had a great relationship of affection even before. Then, when Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV made me the Amir and Nazir-e-Ala, then there was respect included with her affection. And then after Khilafat, this relationship took an astonishing hue, which was very astonishing. She was an extremely friendly and good-natured lady. May Allah the Almighty elevate her rank. The Nasrat, the Ahmadi girls, she also has a favor upon them, and this is also included in the Tariqh-e Ahmadiyyat, the history of Ahmadiyyat. In 1939, for the Ahmadi girls, the Majlis Nasratul Ahmadiyya was established. The first sadr, or the one who looked over it, was Muhtarama Asani Memuna Sofia Sahiba. The secretary was Sahibzadi Amtul Rashid Sahiba. And she also had the idea for this. She says, when I was a student in the Diniyat class, then the idea came into my mind that just as for the education of the woman, there is the Lajna-e Mahila organization, there should also be an organization for girls. So then the wife of Malik Saifur Rahman Sahiba, and also the wife of Hafiz Bashiruddin Abedla Sahiba, and also to other sisters of the class, she mentioned this desire. Together, we made an organization for the girls. With the approval of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III, it was named Nasratul Ahmadiyya. In fact, it was a gathering, or there was some gathering taking place, and Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II passed by, and he asked, "What is this?" The word was used was some young girls or something, it is an organization of them, and he said, "No." In any case, upon the advice of their teacher, they obtained permission. And then Hadrat Khalifatul Masih Sani formally gave the name of Nasratul Ahmadiyya. And then this organization was formed. Every single person had this analysis and comment about her, that he was extremely simple and very caring of the poor. Her distinctive quality of hospitality was extremely prominent. Particularly in the days of the Jalsa, she would give her entire house for guests, and her family would stay in the store. In fact, sometimes I have seen, let alone the store, the entire house was given to guests, and she would pitch a tent outside, and her family would stay there. She would take extreme care of the guests and serve them profusely. This was an extraordinary quality in her. For all rich and poor, she would give equal hospitality. She would take extraordinary care of the poor and would treat them and deal with them in an excellent manner. Many of the children that she helped bring up declared that she looked after her like her own daughters and sons. She gave us education in good schools. She kept us in the home in a good manner, gave us good clothes, and she respected and took care of their food. She arranged for many weddings of orphan girls. Nonetheless, I have hardly seen such a person so caring of the poor. If she ever took the responsibility of a poor or orphan person in her home, then she would keep them like her own children. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of her, and may He grant her forgiveness and mercy. She leaves behind 3 daughters and 1 son, Dr. Amdiruddin Mansoor. They are all in the United States. May Allah the Almighty also enable these children to tread on the path of their mother and father and enable them to act virtuously and piously.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر